What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
Gustavo Arellano, thank you so much for being on Law and Disorder today.
Gracias for having me.
I'm not sure about folks in the Bay Area, but, you know, I'm down here in L.A., so I'm used to your columns and your wit and your humor. But, you know, what's been happening? Yeah, absolutely, sir, absolutely. I'm a fan. But now, what's been happening with ICE is not humorous. What's been happening adjacent to ICE with the recent revelations of the FBI that, hey, you know, there are actually criminals in masks going around. Yeah, that's not us. You know, the guys with the mask who are kidnapping people, we're ICE. But the guys with masks who are raping y'all and robbing y'all, they're not ICE. So it's a mess. It's a mess. But let's start with this most recent column and then work back, shall we? What does the audience need to know about when immigration agents picked up a 15-year-old white teen?
So I always tell people that you got to know your history. The more you know about what happened in the past, the more you are informed to battle for today and for tomorrow. So for our Essential California newsletter, which comes out every day, I wrote a story that I had known about for years. Back in 1954, at the height of the Eisenhower administration's mass deportation pogrom, for lack of a better term, ICE picked, or back then it was La Migra, so it's Immigration and National Services, they picked up a 15-year-old kid named Jimmy Rhodes, white boy from Yorba Linda, who he was down in San Juan Capistrano, so down in South Orange County, spraying orange trees, and La Migra staged the raid. And to his credit, this is according to immigration officials, he lied to them about where the undocumented people went, so he was covering for them. He tried to drive away with some hidden. Instead, they grabbed him, they grabbed them, they kept him detained for 11 hours, and then they finally let him go. So we see all the excesses, is a nice way of putting it, but all the horrors that La Migra is doing now. And by the way, the Trump administration has said that we are modeling our program after what Dwight Eisenhower did in 1954 called Operation Wetback. And back then it was orderly. No, it wasn't. It inflicted the same racial terror as today as they did yesterday. And back then they didn't care if it was American white citizens, just like today.
You know, when you said you're a Belinda, I immediately thought about Richard Nixon. Oh, that's disgusting.
Exactly.
But at any rate, yeah, the Trump administration hearkening back to quote unquote policies of old, policies of old degradation is really nothing new. But what you're arguing again in this piece is that it might look like they're coming after brown people, but black folks and even white folks stand to be picked up, to be caught up in this madness.
ProPublica came out with a piece, what was it, a couple of weeks ago, that as of September, we're in mid-November now, so as of September, ICE and other federal immigration agents have detained at least 170 U.S. citizens. Now, the vast majority of them most likely have been of Latin American heritage. But as we have seen, we have had black folks being caught up in this crap out in Chicago. We've seen white people arrested merely for, for tracking La Migra out here in Southern California, in Portland, everywhere we see. And this is what I was at the University of Chicago recently talking to young folks, and the audience was of, you know, all different ethnicities and races, and I told everyone in the room, don't think it's just Latinos who are going to be caught up in this. You will be caught up in this if you dare oppose the Trump administration's mass deportation policy. You will be caught up in this, and all I could do is pray that you come out okay on the other end.
Now, in addition to mass deportations, prior to the deportation, there's been the construction of holding cells or concentration camps to house the people that they plan on deporting. My understanding is that there has been at least one either planned for or transformed somewhere here in California. Is that correct?
Oh, I mean, you have Adelanto right now up in the high desert in San Bernardino County. There's there's another one. Oh, what is it? McFarland?
Well, Adelanto is one they've been using for a while, but I was under the impression they were building a bigger, better, faster one.
Oh, yeah. No. Look, they have not announced any plans, but it's coming. Already various media outlets are reporting that there's bids out for companies to try to get a contract with the U.S. government that will build these facilities. I know Oregon Public Media, they came out with a story that in small Newport, Oregon, so right there on the coast, that I think it was city council, that they received a letter from a company that does these types of big, huge tent cities, they euphemistically call them. And so, hey, where in Newport can we find a lot of land to be able to do this? So it is imminent. Wherever it's going to come, it is absolutely imminent. This is what the Trump administration is promising. And if there's one thing you should know about them is that every harebrained, disgusting scheme that they say they're going to go through, they almost always go through with it. So be prepared.
Harebrained and disgusting. Absolutely. But we were just speaking with a representative of the Sudanese community talking about the conflict in Sudan, looking at how with that conflict, unfortunately, ironically, the information that has filtered out through the web has come from the opposition broadcasting their atrocities. In Palestine, of course, you know, we had a journalist force that was systematically targeted and assassinated by Israel, a force of journalists in Palestine that was covering that genocide in Gaza. Here in Los Angeles, we've been seeing not only the goings on of ICE, but also the resistance to ICE. Can you talk about some of that, some of the creative ways folks have been resisting immigrations and custom enforcement?
Look, when the Trump administration launched this, they really thought that people were just going to sit down and take it. They really thought people were going to be hiding in fear. And by the way, if that's how folks are, that's okay, because I'm not going to, me, my privileged self as a U.S. citizen, I am not going to assume that everyone should be the same way I am. But what they didn't, what's the old saying, you know, they buried us in the ground, but they didn't realize we were seeds. That's exactly mm-hmm. what has happened. People have set up neighborhood watches. People have set up WhatsApp groups. People have set up ICE watchers straight up, following them, recording them. People have recorded detaining. People have recorded even something like resistance and like cussing out La Migra. That's an act of resistance. And it has been nonstop in Los Angeles, across a lot of the United States, in Chicago. That's where, in my opinion, I saw sort of the epitome of it so far, of how you can get folks from a community in mass to resist in their own ways.
Hmm. Okay, can you elaborate on that? What exactly did you see in Chicago?
So I was in Chicago last week. Again, I had to go speak at the University of Chicago, but me being me, I'm like, all mm-hmm. right, I'm out there. This is where La Migra is just swinging its hammer crazily. There's so much atrocities coming out. I got to go check out for myself what's going on. So the plan was for mm-hmm. me to go to Little Village. Little Village is called the Mexican heart of the Midwest. So a historic Latino barrio right there in Chicago on the west side. And I was supposed to sit down, have breakfast with an activist named Baltasar Espinosa. Sorry, Baltasar. I always forget your last name because there's so many E's. But anyways, con Baltasar. He's the head of the Little Village Community Council, longstanding nonprofit there. So we're supposed to have breakfast. My Uber drops me off immediately, surrounding me. horns, whistles, yelling, caravans of cars screaming, La Migra, La Migra. And for the next 4 hours, it was just a chase. Me bouncing from one activist to another as they're going up and down the streets telling people that immigration had been spotted because the Border Patrol commander at large, Gregory Bovino, he's that short guy with the bad haircut who was terrorizing Los Angeles in the summer and has spent most of the fall doing the same to Chicago, but worse. And so it was, how can I call it? A cacophony of sounds, but you saw neighborhood united. Little village, super dense, but everyone I saw had a whistle around their neck or were getting whistles, because that is the soundtrack to Chicago's Migra Fall. It is blowing the whistle, letting people know that La Migra is there. And I'm sorry, look, L.A., God bless L.A., we've been doing it. And when I talked to the activists in Chicago, they said that indirectly they got the idea for whistles from Los Angeles, that they have gotten inspiration from Los Angeles, that we were the ones who started off the resistance. But you know what? In L.A., we don't have those whistles yet. So what I'm telling people is, like, we should all have a whistle, just like a symbol of resistance. Something as simple and no fancy whistle, just a cheap little whistle that you could buy at, oh, I don't know, 99 cent, if those still existed now, the Family Tree, Family Dollar, whatever, get them and just start blowing that anytime you see La Migra.
You were bouncing around for 4 hours.
And I would have done that more. I had to go again. I was there officially on a work assignment, which is talking to students at the University of Chicago. So I go in there, I bounce around, and I leave them. Like Baltazar, they finally went to the office, and they said, hey, you know what? We need a break. We need to eat pizza. So the pizza comes out. Meanwhile, he's training people how to defuse a pepper ball with a traffic cone. And me as a reporter, I'm like, oh, man, this is where it's just starting. But I had to call my Uber, and I had to get the hell out of there. But I was honored enough to be able to do a dispatch that came out on the front page of Sunday LA Times. So, like, and I've been getting a lot of good stuff for it. So I had that honor. But literally, when I came back, I told everyone, and I came with a whistle myself. Like, it's now hanging in my car. And that's the important thing. It's like, okay, raids will ebb and flow, but we all have to be on watch. We cannot let our guards down. That's what La Migra is wanting us to do. That's what La Migra is expecting us to do. But that's what we can't give La Migra.
Absolutely, absolutely. A four-hour immersion in the streets of Chicago. Let me ask you this. You have been doing this work for years now, covering not only the communities of Southern California, of Orange County, but also these types of shenanigans. We know through social media, LA Taco has been doing great work regarding covering ICE and these raids. Tell us about your counterparts in Chicago.
Chicago, you have Block City, Chicago, really great nonprofit news site. They're the ones who caught Bovino and La Migra taking a photo in front of that like holographic bean that's like some sculpture out there. And Bovino was yelling at them that they all give a bunch of lies. So God bless them for putting that out. You're going to see that in Bovino's Propaganda X account very soon. But I have to say, even though mainstream media has done a great job out there, we're talking about the Chicago Sun-Times, the Chicago Tribune, a WBZ, a WGN, a reporter, for a camera person for WGN was detained briefly by ICE during a rally. And also just the activists on the ground. I mean, it has been a multi-pronged effort. Like Los Angeles, the only difference that Chicago folks said that they don't have that we have in LA is nonprofits who have been funding that next generation, who have the money to be able to support folks who do need food, workers who do need that protection, who do need legal advice. A lot of what I saw in Chicago, it's grassroots. And the only advantage I would give to Chicago over Los Angeles, sort of in this world, and not that we're not rivals at all, not especially here. We are contemporaries. But we have to acknowledge the radical roots of Chicago are way decades older than an L.A. You know, this is where the Haymarket riot happened. That's all the way back in 1889 when L.A. was still a cow town, you know. Chicago's a far more union town for a far longer time than Los Angeles has been. And, you know, not that we should use presidential elections as a barometer of anything, but Kamala won Chicago with 79% of the vote. I think in L.A. it was something like 72%. So Chicago is, as a whole, more blue, more progressive than Los Angeles. But that said, again, we're comrades in this, in this fight against Trump. And I do think that people on both cities, but especially, you know, I'll say this from coming from Southern California, it is incumbent upon us in Southern California, in LA specifically, to be reaching out to Chicago and telling them, hey, what's up? What are you folks seeing? What, you know, what can we learn from you? And we're here to be that advocate in whatever way we can.
I'm speaking with Gustavo Arellano, columnist with the Los Angeles Times newspaper, former editor of the OC Weekly. Gustavo, for folks here in the Bay Area, as I said, I'm down here in L.A. We know you down here in L.A. But for folks in the Bay Area who want to follow your journalism and keep up with you, how can they do that?
Go to my website, GustavoArellano.org. You could subscribe to my weekly newsletter. I'm not going to tell you to go on social media because it's all garbage. And although I would love all of you to subscribe to the LA Times, I get it. I totally get it. But at least with my weekly newsletter, it is free, comes out every Saturday. And I put together everywhere where anywhere I've done a story and all my media appearances like this one. So there's the beautiful loop, right?
Thank you so much, Gustavo, for being on Law and Disorder today.
Gracias for having me.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.